AM 600 KOGO, San Diego's news and talk station, and joined by the governor of the great and glorious state of California, the one, the only Arnold Schwarzenegger. Governor, good to have you back on the show.
Thank you very much, Mark. It's always nice to talk to you.
Seems like it was just last week. We were lunching, and I got to tell you, you knew going into that room of some of your biggest donors that they weren't exactly saying, hey, we agree with everything, and it's all been explained. And I know you brought Herb Schultz in there to explain the healthcare program and so forth. But the kind of reaction in the elevator afterward, either they really got it, or a couple of people said, you know, I still don't agree on this thing, but, you know, Arnold still got the magic. I need to write another check. So I thought that was encouraging.
I think it was good. This were all supporters that have been with me from the beginning. And, you know, we are going around the state, as we have promised, to explain our healthcare reform and to explain that we have a broken system right now. That has failed the people of California for too many years, and now we have to fix it. And whenever you come up with a new policy, you would not have always everyone agree to it. But I think the important thing is that we tell our people exactly what the healthcare reform is about. What does it mean? What does it mean to them? What does it mean to businesses? And what does it mean really to everyone, that we want to really have everyone insured and we want to have insurance companies cover everybody?
Well, can you explain? The thing that I'm having a hard time with is kind of getting to that sort of almost a mission statement, 3x5 card. You know, somebody says, what's this about? It's like, well, it's a little of this, a little bit of that. There's the 4% here and the 4% there. They're fees. It's really not taxes. And but how do you do that? If you're going to give it a quick summary, what's the best way to do that as you see it?
Well, I think the most important thing to tell people is that we want to insure everybody, that we want to have the insurance companies cover everybody. Because as soon as we cover everybody, which means the 6.5 million people that are uninsured right now, then the hidden tax goes away. Which means that right now the insured people of California are paying the medical bills for the uninsured. So every one of us is paying a hidden tax and an increase in our policies. If it's policies, out-of-pocket expenses, premiums, you know, deductibles, all of those things. And for private businesses, for this business sector, that means a total of $14.7 billion in a hidden tax. We want to get rid of that, and we want to bring efficiency to the system, and we also want to make sure that the insurance companies cover everybody. Now, of course, the only way we can do that is by everyone participating, meaning that the employers participate, the state, the federal government, the hospitals, the doctors. Everyone has to participate in order to make this work.
Well, that's the challenge. All the parts have to work right, and I know that you were doing some lobbying in Washington over the last couple of weeks to get the federal part of this, so it's like $3.87 billion or something like that. It's all got to work, and certainly that part of it's going to have a lot of resistance, most likely from other parts around the country where they say, you know, why should we help California? So how do you make that sale?
Well, we are paying taxes, federal taxes. So, I mean, we're only getting 79 cents on the dollar right now anyway. So I think that it is, you know, our right to get matching funds from the federal government. So that's not even asking for too much. It's just saying, look, we are willing to put up extra money. Therefore, you have to put up extra money. And so we had a meeting with Secretary Lovett. He loved our reform idea.
Lovett loved
it. Yeah, exactly. President Bush thought it was a great idea for us to reform our healthcare system. And I think that we could actually be the first state that will have comprehensive healthcare reform so that other states get inspired by that, and then it spreads like wildfire, and the federal government has to come in and assist us. That is the important thing here. But let me just tell you another thing. The amount of suffering that is going on by people that are not insured right now, and the amount of kind of worries and people are scared that are insured, because any kind of a little you know, medical history could mean that their policies get canceled.
Well, that's a part of it that I actually like that you're addressing that. You mentioned one case last week, I think one individual who was facing tens of thousands of dollars in premium because of a pre-existing condition. And I know that that's, you know, I think anybody would agree with that regardless of politics. But, you know, when you talk about everybody getting insured, Governor, that you have people saying, well, listen, you're going to insure a lot of illegals who shouldn't have been here in the first place. So how do you factor that? How is that going to help doing it this way with
well,
the illegals?
Mark, as you know, federal law requires us to never turn anyone away from an emergency room. So that means that if you're legal or illegal, it makes no difference. anyone that needs medical attention or care and comes to an emergency room will get that care no matter what. That is federal law. So it's not a question about should we insure people or not insure people. The question is how can we as a state do it in the most efficient way, in the most cost-effective way? And what we are suggesting in our plan is to create medical clinics where people can go, where there's a nurse there and they can get their prescriptions at any time, where there's a doctor there, and it is then half of the expense, or maybe, you know, one-fifth of the expense than what it is right now. People are going with a cold or with a headache to an emergency room. They crowd up the emergency room. Some people have to wait up until 7 hours in order to get attention. They'd really need attention right away because our emergency rooms are crowded. Emergency rooms are closing all over the state because they're getting stuck with unpaid bills because of that. So what we want to do is we want to bring a system in, put a system in place that really works and that is cost efficient for the state and for the individual to bring the healthcare costs down and to bring the premium prices down.
Yeah, there's no doubt that you want to get the cost down. At the same time, it almost sounds like we're saying that there's nothing we can do about illegal immigration. We've got to say, okay, the feds have got to handle it. They mandate, you know, taking care of anybody who goes to a hospital emergency room. We got to give care. So are we waving kind of a retreat white flag when it comes to enforcing borders and keeping California from having an increased illegal immigration problem?
No, but Mark, what it is we need to straighten out our act when it comes to immigration reform, because that is every single problem that we have, if it is the hospitals, education, or any of those things, it is because the federal government has not gotten their act together and have good immigration reform, where we have a guest worker program where people can come in here legally and work. We know who they are, their background is checked, and all of those kind of things. And then secure the borders in such a way that no one can come across. So those are the kind of things that we need to do in order to have comprehensive immigration reform. But they're not doing it. So what we are saying always is, and that's why I was in Washington giving my speech, I said, you know, Congress has to get the act together. The people have sent them to Washington to straighten out this mess and to really fix broken systems and problems that we have here. And so we have to encourage Congress always to be, daring and to go in there and to just fix this problem once and for all.
But you said last week when I was with you at lunch, Governor Schwarzenegger, that you like to look at the big things, that California is a big place and people see you as the Terminator and the kind of bigger-than-life Hollywood thing. You don't want to deal with traffic infractions necessarily. You want to look at the big visionary pictures, which I think is admirable, but that gets you some challenges even for many in your own party. And I know you saw the LA Times piece yesterday about this whole post-partisan unity kind of thing, and you had Tom McClintock, who ran for lieutenant governor on the same ticket last fall, saying that he said post-partisanship is, quote, the process by which Arnold sits down with Democratic leaders, gets them to do exactly what they wanted to do all along. How do you address that? How do you take that?
Well, I pay no attention to that.
Oh, you do too. You pay some attention
to
it.
No, I don't.
Come on.
No, you know why, Mark? Because I'm a result-oriented person, not a curriculum-oriented person. So that means that I only care about results and serving the people of California. What we have accomplished last year, because Democrats and Republicans worked together, if you think about the infrastructure bonds, the infrastructure package that we put together, the strategic growth plan, I mean, it was Democrats and Republicans negotiating. I was not even part of the last round of negotiations. It was all of both of the party leaders negotiating and coming up with a package that was $37 billion, the biggest amount in the history of California. And now we're already building roads and we're starting to build schools, fixing our levees and building affordable housing. That is unbelievable progress. What we have done with the environment, to make a commitment to roll back our greenhouse gas emissions to the 1990 level by the year 2020. That actually inspired the British, and Prime Minister Tony Blair is announcing tomorrow something similar to that. So we are inspiring the rest of the world to do the same thing. We have gotten a budget on time last year. For the first time in 6 years, we have lowered prescription drug costs for vulnerable citizens of California, all by Democrats and Republicans working together. So there's a long list of things that we have done. Both of the parties have served the citizens of California so well. I'm proud of them, and we're going to continue doing that no matter what some of the critics are saying.
Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger with us live at AM 600 KOGO. With regard to the getting along with the other side, and you do have a masterful technique of getting people who don't agree with you on everything. Hey, I don't agree with you on everything, and you and I get along just fine and have a great time. But there's one effect. Here's the LA Times again. They've got a blog out today, and it says there's a reason that Assembly Speaker, Democrat Fabian Nunez, is playing nice with you, because a new Democratic poll shows a favorable impression of the legislature means voters are more receptive to changing California's term limits law. In other words, they're getting warm and fuzzy with you because they hope that the rules change and they can stay longer. You buy that?
Well, it is. You can pick one area like term limits. But the fact of the matter is the first time in 10 years that the legislators have had this kind of a high approval rating. And that the approval rating is higher than the disapproval rating. It's the first time in 10 years. Why? Because the people of California love the idea that both of the parties are working together. So I'm getting back to the earlier point. We both are working together. We're getting things done. This is why my approval rating is up almost at 70. This is why their approval rating is up that high. So that all works well for California, and we should continue doing that. If it's term limits, if it is redistricting, if it is campaign finance reform, we want to have all kinds of political reforms that we want to put that on the ballot in February of 2008.
What's the latest on prison reform? I know that's a pet project for you. Kind of tough to get this moving when the courts get in the way, trying to get some of the overflow in prison population to go to private facilities in other states. We're going to make some inroads there. Where's that going to go?
Well, Mark, we had today a Big Five meeting, and we had the legislative leaders there. We had the staff there. We talked about that. We had a great, great meeting. Very encouraging. We're going to work on that, and we made a commitment that we're going to stay with it until we get it done. And I have great, great hopes that both of the parties are going to come together in a bipartisan or postpartisan way. And we're going to solve this problem. It is really encouraging to see the kind of meeting that we had today. So I'm very, very hopeful of that, because one thing we know for sure, we would never, no party wants to have criminals that are dangerous released out into society and create danger and fear amongst the people.
Do we know what the numbers are in terms of the prison population? How many are illegals that got in trouble on this side of the border? And if so, somebody emailed me earlier today, said, ask the governor, why don't the California government, why don't we go ahead and build prisons on the other side of the border, let them take some of those prisoners back to alleviate crowding, and, you know, maybe create some jobs the same way. Does that make sense?
Well, you know, all of those ideas sometimes sound good, but it doesn't work, because we are right now in the courts because we have already sent almost 300 prisoners out of state.
Yeah.
Now, those were 300 prisoners that were willingly go out of the state. Now we have to go after those that are not willing to go. And the court immediately has, the judge has said, well, we have to look at that. You can't do that. That's illegal. So it's easy to say those things, but it's much harder to do. We have to come up with a comprehensive reform in prisons so that we help our county jails that are releasing every year 200,000 prisoners. 200,000 inmates are getting out and getting free. And out of this, out of 150,000 of those, there were 16 that committed murders. They were charged with murder charges.
Yep.
There's 1,400 that were charged with weapons possessions, rape, sexual violence. We're talking about kidnapping and all of those things because they were released early. So right now, there's a cap on 20 different jails, county jails in California. So I'm worried about the crisis that we're in, and this is why I urged the leaders today once again, let us build more prisons, let us build more beds. We got to add at least 70,000 new beds so we can live up to this kind of a, you know, increase in population, prison population, and also California population. We got to deal with it, and we got to have a plan so that we can show to the judge we have our act together, that we're looking at the whole package. If it is reforms in parole reforms in all of this, we're looking at everything, and we will have a plan for the next 10 years.
Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger with us. I know you've said often that the president needs a smoking tent, like your cigar smoking tent. And I told you last week, I think you're the only person who can pull off having discussions on health care in a tent where everybody's smoking cigars. But it might help the president if he had a little bonding time. Is that what you're thinking?
Well, you know, when we started the smoking tent, the idea was to create an environment outside the office. It wasn't that much just like it's a smoking tent. It was just, let's create an environment where people can hang out.
That's because you can't smoke in the building. It's illegal, right?
Well, that was not the main kind of bottom line.
Sure.
The main bottom line was that We wanted to create an atmosphere where people can take off their jackets, where they don't feel like I'm inside the governor's office. They rip off their tie. They sit there. They talk. They schmooze. They hang out. They smoke stogies. And out of that comes a certain kind of a trust with the relationships. And I think that's what is so important when Democrats and Republicans get together, to build trust, to talk about not policy, but their personal lives, to just have a conversation. And then it creates friendships, and then they get together for dinner. And then all of a sudden, it's easier to get a deal done, and it's easier to come up with a good policy and agreement that works for the people of California.
I wonder if Pelosi and Boxer, for example, would light up stogies. I'm gonna get pictures of that if we can. How you doing?
Oh, yeah,
on
that
your...
would be hot. That would be a hot picture.
That would be. That'd get us all in trouble, probably. Governor Schwarzenegger with us. How are you feeling? We talked last week. You were saying you had about a week left on the cane, and you're on the mend from the ski injury. What's the latest on that?
Well, half of the time now I walk without a cane, and half of the time I walk with one. But I mean, today I'm doing really well, so I'm making great progress. I'm working out very hard on my legs. I do my life cycle every day. Leg extensions, leg curls, and leg raises, and sit-ups, and all those things to really bring back the strength of my thigh muscles again so that I can walk very soon without any help.
And the interest of health care, none of your health care is paid for by the citizens of California. Is that right, sir?
I have my own policy.
Well, you're making like a buck a year, right? You're not taking salary, right?
I'm making no money, but I'm covered because of my acting career, so I'm still having
And there's a little bit of a money truck that shows up. I heard a figure last week that you've spent like $26 million plus, you and Maria, of your own money, running for office and fighting for causes you hold dear. I mean, that is staggering.
You're absolutely correct, Mark, that since the time we got involved in Proposition 49, where we put $1.5 million into this proposition, then when I ran for the recall and then for the special election and all the different elections, including the last one for governor, altogether, my wife and I, we spent $26 million.
Wow. You got to be dedicated or crazy. I think you're dedicated, so that must
No, I'm dedicated, and I always said that to me it doesn't matter simply because I made this money in California. California is the greatest place in the world. This is where I got the opportunity to become a star in bodybuilding and become the bodybuilding champion of the world, where I got into acting and got to the top in acting, where I could run for governor. I mean, these are all things that you can only do in this great state. So I'm more than happy to give something back, to give my time back to the Californian people, and to give also some of my money back.
And then you'll be running for Senate next time around for boxer seat, right? Right?
Not so quickly. Not so quickly. I have no plans whatsoever. I'm just trying to solve the problems of California.
Big things to do. I thought I'd get you into it there. All right, Governor.
Yeah, I know you tried to. I did try to create some headlines. I understand how it works, Mark.
Appreciate you checking in with us today. Thanks for the extra time. It's always
good
to talk to you. Take care.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye, Mark.
Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger with us live. He may have been in the smoking tent today. The secure undisclosed location in Sacramento. Good to have him with us here addressing all of the issues and, as many as we can get into.